Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch is the director of the Initiative for Palestinian Authority Accountability and Reform in the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs and the former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria. We spoke with him about the latest batch of sanctions and the report that the US will also sanction the IDF's Netzach Yehuda battalion.
So basically, the sanctions that were imposed by both the Americans and the Europeans is to list a number of persons / organizations as terrorists, as basically terrorist entities. That then subjects them to all types of sanctions that are applied to those categories of institutions and people that prevent them from banking processes and travel, obviously, and really do give that whole connecting envelope of a terrorist entity that should be sanctioned and then dealt with on a more fundamental basis.
Now, we know one of the people in the latest batch of sanctions was Bensi Gopstein. He's the head of the Lahava organization, which was decreed to be racist earlier this year by the courts. What about the other individuals and the two small right-wing groups that were chosen for the sanctions? What do we know about these groups and these people?
So I think the organizations that were targeted by the sanctions are predominantly unknown for the most part. They are people who are, in some cases, have some type of a public figure, but nothing more than that. In some cases, we're talking about the European sanctions, about almost journalists, people who carry out journalistic functions, Meir Ettinger, Elisha Yared, these people who are also sometimes involved in activities which the EU may consider to be violent, but they, under that whole environment of exposing what is actually going on, obviously these are people who are on, and it's really important to stress, these are people who are on basically the fringe of Israeli society. In many cases, they are people who are not in any way part of the mainstream. They are have their own groups and circles of friends, and really it's something which most Israeli society doesn't even see as an integral part of what's going on.
The US and European spokespeople in the past have claimed that these individuals and organizations were directly linked to in most cases, violent actions against Palestinians in the West Bank. Is that true?
So the question of the involvement of these people who have been sanctioned both previously and currently in acts of violence is questionable. In some cases, you have people who have been involved in some type of violence but have never been convicted of crimes. Here, basically, what the Europeans and the U.S. administration have relied on are reports and accusations against these people without really ever giving a clear indication of why they are specifically targeting them. Even in cases where you have convictions for certain offenses, that isn't necessarily a basis for imposing the whole sanctions regime. And really, what these sanctions show, both the previous ones and the current ones show, is a heavy, heavy bias against Israel and against Israelis. For example, the Palestinian Authority has an entire program to incentivize the murderers of Jews. Everybody knows about it. The world knows about it. The European knows about it. The U.S. administration knows about it. And yet no one on that program, starting with Mahmoud Abbas and downwards, has ever been the subject of any sanctions. Now, one is the case of private individuals who may or may not be involved in illegal activity, and the other is a institutional policy of incentivizing and rewarding murder. And the U.S. administration seems to have completely ignored those people choosing only to focus on specific individuals in Israeli society who they seek to demonize as part of a wider plan.
These, I believe, are the third round of sanctions imposed by the US and the Europeans on far-right individuals. But there was something new emerging also over the weekend. There was a report on the Axios website, which is usually quite reliable, that the administration is now considering sanctions against the Netzach Yehuda battalion of the IDF. Can you explain to our listeners what this battalion is and why would the US sanctions battalions against an IDF unit?
So this is probably the most outrageous report that we've seen. And if it proves to be true, it's something which would really be a major step forward in U.S. policy against Israel. Netzach Yehuda is one of the fighting battalions in the IDF. It's an integral part of the IDF. It's a unit which is predominantly made up of ultra-Orthodox soldiers who have come into the army, and really it's been the source of not a small amount of focus by the anti-Israel groups, because here you're talking about not only Jews living in Israel, but religious Jews living in Israel, who they seek to demonize on a constant basis. And really what this decision, if it really folds out to be true, it means is that the U.S. administration is saying that the IDF has an organization, has a unit, which has a policy of breaching human rights, and that the IDF is not doing anything about that in order to enforce the law against soldiers who act in a manner which is not in any way, shape, or form part of IDF policy. That has far-reaching consequences, specifically for the International Court of Criminal Court, where Israel claims to have a legal system which effectively enforces the law. And what these U.S. sanctions are really saying is that the U.S. administration doesn't trust Israel's internal law enforcement against soldiers who breach the law. That is something which is a statement against the entire IDF and the entire law enforcement in the IDF. And if it happens, will truly be something very, very disastrous. And really, it would be equivalent to the U.S. administration handing the IDF to the International Criminal Court on a silver platter.
A few of the soldiers in this battalion were convicted of violence against some Palestinian detainees a few months ago, and they were disciplined, I believe.
Yes, indeed. There have indeed been instances in a few army units, in a few IDF units. Unfortunately, the IDF, whilst the circumstances are possibly less, the IDF in some cases is not different from other armies, and as you have misconduct by soldiers in every other army, so you have that occasionally also in the IDF. Those instances are dealt with forcibly by the IDF, whether it be in command chained procedures or even with criminal prosecutions. And that is something which is seen has been assumed to be very effective until now, which is why you don't see very, very wide-scale cases of abuses.
How on earth would this, assuming these sanctions are introduced against this battalion, how on earth would it work in practice? Suppose there's an airlift coming in of 100 APCs and a few thousand rockets. The IDF would have to ensure that that equipment doesn't reach this battalion?
Yes, that's what it would require. It would require the IDF to differentiate with all of the equipment that it receives from the U.S. between one of its units and all of the rest, and thereby vilifying them entirely. That means really closing the unit effectively, because obviously a unit like that couldn't continue to function, being completely separate from the rest of the IDF.